The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast in the world. This is Mind Pump. Ooh, today's episode is all about the arms. This is the arms masterclass. We talk about training the biceps, the triceps, and even the forearms, how they work, best exercises, things to focus on, things to ignore. If you want to develop amazing arms, this is the episode for you. Now, this episode is brought to you by a sponsor, Element. This is the best electrolyte powder you'll find anywhere. It's all natural, no calories, no artificial sweeteners, and it has the right amount of sodium for performance and pumps during your workout. Anyway, go to our link and get yourself a free sample pack with any order. Go to drinklmnt.com/mindpump. Also, we're running a sale right now on some workout programs. MAPS Cardio is 50% off. The Shredded Summer Bundle of Programs is 50% off. And the Bikini Bundle of Programs is 50% off. If you're interested in any of those, go to mapsfitnessproducts.com and then use the code JUNE50 for the 50% off discount. All right, here comes the show. All right, let's talk about arms. This is probably one of the most prized body parts. Biceps, triceps, forearms. They're often exposed. This is why people like to develop them, men and women. So in today's episode, we're going to talk all about the muscles of the arms and the best exercises you can do to sculpt and shape amazing arms. This
it's my favorite subject. So.
Yeah, it's my favorite too. This is the
killing it.
The first body part I ever trained, I think.
When you guys were younger, was this the main one? Were you? I mean, you were big into bench press. Young,
no, I did
you?
Everything. I trained.
I think arms. Yeah, I mean, that was probably my first. Like, I really liked training arms. It was just like it gravitated to me. And then chest, of course.
Yeah, I'm guilty of like
most kids
only right? arms for yeah. like 2 or 3 years.
That long?
Yeah, because I was terrible at bench. So even my buddy that tried, and definitely didn't do legs as a kid. I mean, that was like crazy. You know, I don't want to screw up my basketball skills. You know what I'm saying? So whatever right. the excuse was I used back then as a kid, didn't want to do legs for sure. And so it was arms. Arms was wow. all I trained. And, you know, when they tried to get me to bench press, my form was so terrible. I've told you guys before, it took like three guys.
Yeah.
One guy would pin my shoulders down. The other two guys would spot the bar. It was like, and then I was like 135 pounds. Like just terrible. So. Yeah, all arms, like all the time. And when I got into being a personal trainer, I had trained them so frequently, so often for all my early years, teenage years, that they became really stubborn. Like I could just, you couldn't hammer my arms and I wouldn't get sore. I mean, I had thrown something at them.
No, I always trained kind of everything right out the gates because I bought books and followed routines, and there's that story when I met those powerlifters type of deal.
Yeah. just curling books.
But I mean, there's a reason why arms are so popular. It's because it's a proxy for a strong physique. Meaning, you know, for the most part, if anything's exposed, unless you're at the beach or something like that, right? If anything's exposed, it's usually your arms. Yeah. And if you have muscular, fit-looking arms, it typically tells the person that the rest of you is fit. That's what it means by proxy. So it's no wonder why it's such a popular body part to train. There was a time when women didn't want to train arms, but then it became popular for women as well because, you know, they realized like, oh, I'm not going to get big arms. I'm going to get nice sculpted looking arms.
Yeah.
And women's arms are shown as often, if not more often than men's. So now what's funny is there's so many myths that surround arm training. that this will be fun. This will be a fun thing to talk about in terms of like, what are the best exercises or the best, even more importantly, what are the best combination of exercise to develop, you know, to get well-developed arms. So this will be a good one. But we're going to talk about like the basic, cause there's more muscles than the ones we're going to highlight today. There's lots of small muscles that are in there and stuff like that.
We're not even going to cover the shoulders. We're sticking with
biceps and triceps.
Biceps, triceps, and forearms.
We did a whole shoulder masterclass already, didn't we? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we did a whole shoulder. And I definitely think that, you know, refer to that episode because I do think that when in pursuit of like aesthetic looking arms, right, like
you want nice shoulders.
Yeah, that makes as much of a difference, if not more. In fact, I think I have smaller arms today than I did in my early 20s. But I have better looking arms because my
shoulders,
they're more proportionate to my shoulders. So that makes a big difference.
Now, arms feel awesome to train. That's true. That's for sure. It's a really nice feeling. It typically not hard to connect to the muscles of the arms, which is kind of cool, mainly because we still use our hands and arms. You know, we haven't reached the point yet where we're completely machine or whatever, a computer. I can almost always get someone to feel their biceps, feel their triceps, and feel their forearms if I want them to. So this isn't really an area where typically it's like, ooh, we got to figure out a way to get
there's you. There's not really a loss of connection.
Right.
So there is sometimes with tricep though. Tricep sometimes can be more difficult for some clients to feel. And I don't want to mess up the flow of your episode right here, but I am curious, like, do you guys remember like of all the things that we learned and what we're probably going to talk about in this episode, as far as exercise selection and lifts and sets and reps and all these different things, do you remember like what were like some of the most pivotal things that like, or aha moments when training arms were? I know there's a big one for me that was like made a huge difference.
I think it was probably the same thing for me. It was the elbow position.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a big one.
That was just, I didn't understand that. Like I didn't understand how you were manipulating the strength curve and you know, with the stretch position versus, I didn't learn that until I learned biomechanics later on.
Let's talk about that first, right? Okay. Let's talk about the biceps, right? They attach, here underneath the elbow and then right at the shoulder or a bit higher. There's two heads of the bicep. So because the attachment's way up here near the shoulder, I can make my bicep shorter simply by lifting my elbow, and I can make the bicep longer by putting my elbow behind my body, because it'll automatically lengthen or shorten by the position of my elbow. So that's what we mean by elbow position. I could do exercises where my bicep's shortened. I could do elbow exercises where my bicep is lengthened. And then I can change the resistance so that it's hardest when I'm squeezing, or it's hardest when it's stretched or extended. And those are the factors to consider when you're training biceps, along with, this is different for triceps, but for biceps, hand position also matters. It's if you were to look at your bicep right now, if you were kind of partially flex your arm, take your palm facing up and then have your palm facing down and then facing up, you'll notice your bicep shortens and lengthens. One of the actions of the bicep is also to rotate the hand.
Pronate and supinate.
So that also is something you want to consider when contribute you do, to it. You know, bicep exercise.
Yeah, one of the things I was thinking of when I was just young and just starting out and like especially doing curls was I was doing like a preacher curl and then was – like my range of motion was tiny.
Yeah.
I would just come down and then bring it back up and like get a squeeze. And I thought I was doing something. And then like, I remember, a bodybuilder, somebody came over and was like, yeah, you want to go all the way. And I was like, I had to drop like a ton of weight. Yep. Like it was very humbling, but then I was like, oh wow. Okay. I have to go all the way down. And so I applied that again to the elbow position on all the other exercises. But that was like a huge thing. If I was just doing short reps all the time.
Three things that were very huge moments in my arm training for that: range of motion, elbow positioning, and compound lifts for that.
Yeah.
Because it was popular when I first started learning at curl to do all these isolation exercises.
Well, almost every bicep exercise is isolation.
Yeah. So there's,
and the ones that are compound are not called bicep exercises.
Right. So it's like a sneaky way for your biceps to build, and nobody would label it as that. Uh-huh. And so I totally ignored that in my bicep and tricep training. I ignored the compound lifts that didn't fall under that category because they were either a bench press or a pull up or these movements that were for your back or your chest. And so you're like, oh, this isn't for my triceps. Yeah. Oh, and also I was still in that trap when I was a kid of thinking that just because I felt it, the most in an exercise that it must be building that muscle. And that's a fallacy. Like there's exercises sometimes, and we know this when we talk about things like legs, like a leg extension, you're going to feel your quads more than you will.
They're
going to be on fire. Yeah, they're going to be on fire compared to a squat, but they ain't going to come close to building your legs like a squat will. And it's like, we knew that, that's obvious, but for some reason, that same principle, people, it's not obvious to them with when it comes to their biceps and their triceps, but it's still true.
The craziest mass builder you'll ever do, just overall development of your bicep, is going to be a supinated grip, chin up, or pull down. Chin up,
yes.
This is a compound lift for the bicep, okay? Just like we do compound lifts for the chest, the back, the legs, and we know that those are the best for the biceps too. Now, I do want to say this. The technique's a little different, okay? If I do a supinated grip pull up, I'm leading with my chest and I'm squeezing back. I'm trying to get my back activated. If I'm doing it for my biceps, I'm rolling forward and I'm pulling with my arm. Same thing with a pull down. I'm doing what would look like—
trying to bring your knuckles towards your chest.
Yes, I would look like what I'm doing is bad form. So if someone saw me do a bicep pull down like this, you might be like, oh, he does it. That's a crappy looking pull down. No, I am emphasizing the bicep on the way down versus the back with my chest out. But try those. First off, a chin up this way. Most people aren't strong enough to do it this way. So you'd have to do a pull down. But grab the bar and curl it down with this kind of rolled forward position and squeeze the biceps at the bottom. You have now done a compound lift for your biceps, and they develop. Yeah,
you'll feel the difference when you do
that. They build doing this. And I've done chin ups like this where I'm only doing 3 or 4 reps. And the biceps just—
I did that with a superset. With oh man, that destroyed my biceps.
So you've talked before about how like certain muscle group, or how low reps only lend themselves to certain muscle groups. This is the exception for like, and we've talked about like, you know, 3 rep range doesn't do much, isn't a typical way you would lift biceps. The only way I would is if I was doing
this,
a pull-up.
I wouldn't do 3 reps for curls.
Yeah, no.
It's just too
an
much.
An isolation exercise 3 times.
And your form is going to be off. And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, 100%. Yeah.
Kicking the shoulders and everything else to get it up.
So we talked about elbow position. So the 3 basic elbow positions you want your bicep exercises to fall under would be elbows in front of your body, elbows next to your body, and then elbows behind your body. So here's 3 exercises that fit that category, which is great. Now, why all those? Because elbows in front shortens the biceps. To the sides, it's kind of neutral, you know, kind of in the middle. Behind the body, there's a stretch when you do a full extension. So the best exercises, or some of the best exercises like this, are preacher curls, elbows in front of my body, standing curls, barbell or dumbbell by my body, and then incline curls, where I'm sitting back on an incline, my elbows are behind my body.
Arms hang back.
Those 3 exercises right there hits all 3 elbow positions. Mm-hmm. And then there's a muscle that we should probably talk about that you, if you want well-developed biceps, you also need to work on, which is the brachialis.
Yes. Or hammers.
Yeah, and this is a flat muscle underneath the bicep. And when it develops, it really gives you this nice full look to your arm. This muscle flexes the elbow, and it's most activated with what's called a neutral grip, a hammer curl. Mm-hmm. A hammer curl will develop the brachialis pretty damn well. I mean, that kind of covers it.
Well, so, okay, now talk about programming that and how I do this. So if I, back when I was doing like body part splits and arms would be like an arm day, I'm actually going to do an exercise that hits each one of those in the workout.
Correct.
If I'm following more of an MAPS anabolic routine.
Where you're doing one.
Where I'm doing, one exercise. I do one on Monday, a different one on Wednesday, a different one on Friday for the week, so that in the week I get all 3 elbow positions. So that's how I would program that, is I want to, in a week's time, I want to make sure I hit all 3 elbow positions, whether I'm doing all that arm workout in 1 or 2 workouts, or I'm spreading it over 3 or 4 workouts. I want to make sure within the week I'm hitting all 3 major elbow positions. Yes. And then I'm going to stay with those exercises for an extended period of time in order to get good at them, right? So I want to stick with those like 3 movements that you're saying for at least, 4, 6, 8 weeks. And then I'm going to change the exercises up too. So then I'm going to switch up.
Right.
But still follow the elbow position.
Now people are going to be like, well, what's the difference? Elbows in front of you, preacher curl versus another elbows in front of you exercise. Well, here's now where it gets interesting. A preacher curl, especially a free weight preacher curl, most of the resistance is at the bottom because that's where gravity's fighting the most. Here at the top, there's not much resistance because now my forearm is perpendicular to the weight and into gravity. Well, if I do a concentration curl where I'm leaning over, my elbow's still in front of my body, but now the hardest part of the rep is the squeeze. I'm doing elbow in front of myself position exercise, but the squeeze is the hardest, not the extension. So I would switch out preacher curls for something like a concentration curl.
Yeah.
Because it's the squeeze now. That's the emphasis.
Well, you're talking about triceps then. You're talking about skull crusher being the top position right here, right? And then you're talking like, say you're doing like a tricep extension for neutral. I mean, obviously that's probably not the best one, but then, and then dips for
behind
you.
We're going to get there. Absolutely.
Yeah. But back to your point with the biceps, like, so another thing to manipulate your point. So you could also do a preacher curl with dumbbells for that for 4 weeks. And then I go over to a preacher curl on a machine.
And now machine is different.
Because the tension is still all the way to the top. Correct. So people have to understand that, like, you can do dumbbell curls on the, which I love to do on, or a camber curl bar on a preacher bench. And it's now a different exercise when same preacher bench, but now I'm on a machine, right? So now it's got the cable, right? So that's attached to it or whatever, because of the way the tension is on it. So that is a way of taking a movement that is
the same,
but then changing it because you are changing the tension on it throughout the strength.
By the way, if you use a bicep machine, you can figure this out by looking at the pulley and the shape of the pulley. And you'll notice that it won't be perfectly circular. It'll be oval shaped. It'll be kind of odd shaped, and you can tell when the resistance is going to get harder. So some machines on a preacher curl, they even though it says 50 pounds on the stack, it's actually 30 at the bottom, 50 at the top.
Yeah.
Now you might not be able to know this by looking at it if you're not experienced. Go try it. Go try the exercise. Notice the most difficult part of the rep, and then the next time you do a similar exercise, find one where the hardest part of the rep is in a different position. By the way, bands are a great way to do this.
Yep.
I used to do this at home when I was a kid. This is before I knew anything about bands. All I knew was, wow, this preacher curl is easy up here. So I attached a band around the bar and I attached around a pole, and I knew that the band would make it harder at the top. And I used to, used to blow my friends away when I would have them try that out.
You know, I was always surprised why those machines didn't get more talk, like as far as
where you can change their
adjusting the resistance.
It's too complicated.
You think so?
That's why, because people don't know to change that pin that changes the pulley position.
So at your American Barbell, which was gold when you worked there, they still have some of those. I love those. And you can change. And these machines, if you've ever seen them, so we can educate the audience that doesn't know what this is. Some gyms will have like the preacher curl machine, and then on the right, normally right on the side where the wheel is or whatever, there'll be a handle that you pull out, and it normally has numbers 1, 2, or 3. And what you're doing is you're changing the heaviest part of the weight to be either in the stretch position, at the middle position,
or at the top,
at the top, which is a cool way to manipulate an exercise that is in the same plane, is virtually the same thing, but now because you manipulate that, it's like it's novel to the muscle because it's not used to the load you like that.
That's right. But if you just picked an exercise from elbows in front, elbows aside, elbows in back, you're 90-something% of the way there. Throw in some chin-ups where your bicep emphasize, squeeze. Now you're doing a compound lift.
How often do you do reverse curls? Because I know for me, like if I go back to them, it's always like I always do too much weight because it's a very like different.
So reverse curls are better hammers. I normally bounce between.
So hammer curl more brachialis, reverse curl. The weak link tends to be the brachioradialis, which is the top of the forearm, which we'll get to because we're gonna get to the forearms in just a second.
Okay. Yeah, I'm jumping ahead.
So next, let's talk about triceps. Now triceps are different than biceps because the hand position matters zero.
Yeah.
If I'm doing a press down and my hands are facing in, facing down, facing up, that doesn't do
which
anything
you will
at all.
See this. Okay, next for the listeners, the next time you'll go to your commercial gym, okay, next time you go to your commercial gym, you'll always see this. It's normally the young teenage boy. I'm guilty, I'm sure, of doing this at one point in my lifting career. And he'll go over to the cable machine and he'll do the metal triangle, then he'll do the rope push down, and then you'll do the reverse grip. All the same thing.
Yeah.
All the same thing. Angle, same nothing. Resistance. And you think it's different because you're doing the rope, the triangle, and they may even argue like, it feels different.
Yeah, we know why it feels different. When you supinate your hand, you drive your elbows into your sides a little more. And so it's really about that.
But as far as what it's targeting, as far as your tricep, it is it's the same thing. No. And that kid would be far better off doing the rope pushdowns and then moving the cable all the way down the bottom and then flipping around and doing overhead extensions. Like that is going to target that completely different. Yeah. So yes, the elbow position, wrist position no longer matters when we're talking about triceps.
Now elbow position matters a lot with triceps because of the way the attachments are for the tricep. If my arms are behind my body, my tricep is shortened. As I move my elbow to being above my body or by my head, Now the tricep is being stretched, or at least the long head, what's called the long head of the tricep. There's three heads. The long head attaches, I believe, near the scapula. And so if I bring my elbow up, now I'm stretching the tricep. So shortened versus, you know, moderate versus lengthened. You want to look for different elbow positions when you do tricep exercises. So you could pick 3 to 4, because you could actually pick an exercise where your elbows are next to your body, in front of your body, overhead, or even behind your body. So there's actually 4 choices, although one of my favorite compound lifts for triceps is elbows kind of behind the body. So I tend to leave that out when I'm looking at isolation exercises.
Yeah.
So the best examples of, or some great examples, I should say, of different elbow positions are press downs, elbows next to my body. Now I elbows in front of my body, skull crusher, great exercise for that. And then elbows up here pointing up next to my head or above my body,
overhead
tricep extension. Rope, cable, dumbbell, barbell, all elbow up by my head. All three should be present in your routine, all three elbow positions. Now, I did say next, like behind the body as well. This is where compound lifts. Now, it's not so controversial or weird to hear people say compound lifts are great for triceps just because I think it's been more communicated. Close grip bench press is amazing. Dips is my favorite. I don't think you could beat dips for developing the triceps in terms of compound lifts. And that would kind of qualify as behind the body as you go down to the bottom. So I don't know. What do you guys like better, dips or close grips?
So I'm partial to the close grips.
You're a dips or close grips?
Yeah, I'm trying. What is it about that I like better? Maybe I feel like I can load the bench press more.
It's harder to load dips. Right? You have to put a chain.
And focus more on tricep because it's just, there's more of a, dips are a better, how about this? Dips are a better overall exercise. I'll concede that all day long because it's more functional. You have to stabilize your body, shoulder stabilization in there, core stabilization in there, control of your own body weight.
Right.
It would win as far as a better exercise. But I personally think I've had more success putting mass on my triceps from close grip benches because it's easier to control. I can load it more and I can concentrate just all tricep and take it out of my chest and shoulders and put more on my tricep. And for that reason, I lean that way a little bit more, although both belong in the routine.
And I know there's probably a lot of people out there too that I've come across that avoid dips because of their shoulder has issues. So I get that, like, too. So the close grip bench press is a great option for that to load. Yeah,
I would say use band-assisted dips if that's the case. Get good at them because it's such a great exercise.
It is.
By the way, dips for triceps and dips for chest look a little different. If you're doing dips for chest, you want to lean forward and you want the elbows to flare out a little bit. If you want dips for triceps, you're going to stay more upright
and your elbows
are going to be much tighter to your body. That's going to emphasize the triceps. Close grip presses, people always screw up by going too close.
Yeah.
You go too close, you are asking for trouble in the wrist.
This is how I tell people to line up. So you pinch your elbows by your side and you want your arms bent at 90.
It's about shoulder width.
Slide into your ribs. It has to come straight
back. That's where you want your arms lined up to where it's comfortable. You don't want to be like this to where you're
No. And then another flaring. Thing is if you want to emphasize the triceps with this close grip press, you want the bar to come towards the chest or nipples. You want that tricep extension. You don't want the bar to come down at the belly because then what you're doing is a front delt lift.
It's
very front delt heavy. So the bar should come back as you go down, almost like a compound skull crusher. Not quite because there is a lift like that we're not.
But do not neglect these two exercises.
No.
And in fact, when I'm building a routine for my arms, these compound, just like our legs, it's so funny. We've convinced everybody. Obviously, squatting and deadlifting should be the core of your leg routine. Well, your dips and your close grip bench press and your pull up, in my opinion, should be the core of your arm routine.
Yep.
And then you build the other use the elbow positioning stuff that we're talking about for all your isolation exercise. But in a week, those have got to be in there.
Yeah.
You can't have a week go by and there's not a dip, there's not a close grip bench press, and there's not a pull-up involved in there. If you are, you're missing out. That's no different than a week going by, in my opinion, and you're not deadlifting or squatting.
By the way, you want to know what's funny about the chin-up that we were just talking about? A beginner who tries to do a chin-up tends to do a bicep chin-up. It's the advanced person that doesn't, that because they learn how to do it from back.
Yeah, they do it from back.
And then you tell them it's for bicep, like, what do you mean? Do it like you don't know how to do a chin-up properly where you kind of hunch forward and you're pulling with your arms. That'll hit those biceps. But yeah, so for triceps, every week you want to do an exercise that hits the different elbow positions, and the hand position is totally a waste of time. Does nothing.
Is there any exercises that you guys would categorize for, you know, triceps or biceps for that matter, that you think are, and I don't want to say a waste of time because there's no such thing as like an exercise that's a waste of time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But that you tend to not mess too much with because you think it brings the least amount of value.
Yeah.
I think we've argued this before. Like, I'm not a real big fan of tricep kickbacks.
Me too. That's on that list.
I know you argue it, Sal, but yeah.
I remember like, I teased him about it.
No, I like it. I like it because it's a really good shortened position for the triceps. And if you're, especially for advanced lifters who often cut their tricep exercises short, the reps. So whenever you see someone cut a bicep rep short, it typically means they don't go all the way down. Tricep exercises, people don't extend all the way. They do this. But when you do a kickback, you have to really extend the hell out of your tricep. That's when you'll see the squeeze. But I don't rank it. It's not a top 10.
I think an overhead extension gets that just fine.
Yeah, but people even here, they do this. You don't see people.
They don't bring their.
Yeah. Well, like I mean, I still would. I would still.
No, I mean, full.
I would still defer to our original top three things that I said. You know, range of motion, compound lifts, and then what was the other one I said? The elbow position. Yeah. I mean, those three are the. So no matter what exercise you're doing, if you're not doing a full range of motion, you're missing out.
I'll give
gains.
You a tricep exercise that I think is. I mean, again, they all have value, but this one's less value. Is when people don't even use a handle; they grab for some reason grabbing the wire. I don't know why people do this. And they do this little tricep exercise grabbing the wire.
I like that.
It's so easy.
Hey, like, so here's the deal. I like that better than a kickback because at least there's tension on the tricep through the entire exercise.
But why grab the cable when I grab a handle or a rope? Because you saw a bodybuilder do it, be honest.
I am the bodybuilder.
I am the bodybuilder.
You
didn't invent it, though.
I did. I don't think I did it.
Yeah.
I think the way the ball actually fits in your hand is actually sometimes more comfortable
than the
hand. The rope would be. Yeah. So sometimes if there's a rope there, I would actually do the rope.
Yeah. For biceps, I know there's value because the elbow position right here, but this is so dumb.
That way?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great pump.
No, not curl. You mean so revert. Dumb. You mean triceps that way.
No, he means
no,
curls.
I mean curls. It's like, I get it. Like, you want to put your arms up and get the elbow position.
Oh, there. Well, see, I'm gonna argue with you.
That's a crazy pump.
The reason why, because there's very few, other than the chin-up, there's not another bicep exercise you're ever going to do with an elbow position there.
Yeah. Have you ever,
in that fully lengthened position
even
like that.
Curls behind the head.
Yeah.
If you really
I used to do a lap pull down.
How do you do that?
A lap pull down. I go to a lap pull down and I touch my neck and I curl to my neck.
So it's such a shortened position for the bicep.
And it's so novel. It's so novel that you there's nothing else you do like that.
But it's not going to supplant.
They make a great machine that not all gyms have where you sit down in it.
Elbows are way up there.
And it puts you and you lock your elbow in here and you curl here and it's an amazing exercise.
That's not bad.
It's the closest thing to a chin-up.
Yep.
There's nothing else. There's no other bicep exercise you'll ever do
way up there
with the elbow position like that. Yeah. So I thought you meant the reverse skull crusher, which I would tell you absolutely. Well,
that's why they named it the skull crusher.
That is a stupid way to do that. Because there is no, with the pronating, supinating the hands makes no difference.
No, except
there,
so now your grip is way worse and you're probably
More dangerous and you should absolutely. Totally. So
all right, let's talk about forearms. So forearms, obviously, strong forearms connect you to the world. Very important that you have well-developed, strong forearms. And a lot of people don't realize, especially guys, this is one of the top body parts that women use to judge whether or not they find a man attractive.
Also, many times, the limiting factor why you can't get stronger on some of your curls.
That's right, because hands so little.
Yeah, their forearms get so pumped.
Yeah.
And I've been here before where I'm like curling, and it's actually the pump in my forearms and then my grip gives out before biceps give out.
Now, forearms are easy to train. Wrist curls. So really anything with resistance where you're curling the wrist, you could do this over a bench or even just standing. Reverse wrist curls where you're just pulling up, and then reverse bicep curls or reverse grip curls, which you were talking about. This right here develops this muscle here at the top of the forearm called the brachioradialis here at the top of the elbow.
Oh, yeah.
And nothing will hit that muscle like a reverse grip, reverse curl.
Yeah.
And if you've never done these before, go light because they get real sore.
Oh, because it gets tight and sore. Yeah. Like, that's one that you'll feel for a couple days.
And then one of my favorite exercises just for overall grip strength, overall stability throughout the entire body, and of course developing the forearms, heavy firmer walks. Like you hold on to a heavy pair of dumbbells for time while you're walking. It's an isometric lift. It's true. It's not a full range of motion exercise, but you typically use your forearms in isometric ways.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a bad way to train the forearms. And it's a very functional way to train the forearms because, again, you typically need to be able to hold on to something.
Yeah. Well, now how do you feel in terms of like, cause we talked a little bit about different handles and grips and things for like bicep, tricep, different with forearms, right?
Yes.
There's benefit there.
Different thicknesses of the bar.
Yeah.
So because it's an isometric, most of the strength that I'm going to build is going to be in the size, you know, that's going to be determined by the size of the bar that I'm holding. But you could wrap a towel around it and you could have a thicker handle and now it's a different position. Or you could wrap a towel around it, hold the hand, the towel
pinch
itself.
Pinch grip or, yeah.
Or you could pinch grip, you know, things in this fashion or even in this fashion. And now you're working different positions.
Now order here, okay, forearms last, not beginning of workout.
Don't work your forearms before your biceps.
Yeah, because you don't want your forearms to fatigue and limit your ability to do the
unless other. Unless this is like a specialized area for you. It's an area you really want to focus on. Then I'd say train them first, but rarely ever. I've never had a client I train forearms before biceps and triceps.
No, it's always never. I finish with happened. That. I finish with a forearm exercise. Yeah,
always at the end of the arm workout. But that's
and then all the other same rules apply that we always talk about with sets and reps, right? I mean, all the research is around somewhere between 12 to 20 sets total in a month.
Per week.
Yeah, per week is what you're – did I say month?
You
per
did.
Week. Is what's optimal.
Although I will say this, you could probably get away with, and I'm going to explain why, you typically people get away with less sets for arms.
Because you're doing it in the other compound
lifts.
Yeah,
because every time you're working your chest and your back and your shoulders, you're probably involving the triceps and biceps.
That's how my training has completely flipped from when I was a kid and all I did was bicep and tricep stuff all the time. I rarely actually do them now. Mm. Because I do so much compound lifting, which I neglected when I was younger, it doesn't take much, and obviously I attribute some of that to how much I trained them for so long, that when I do heavy bench, heavy pull-ups, I do row, even deadlifting. Deadlifting stimulates your bicep. Like you do some of these heavy compound lifts, it just doesn't take that much of arm work, you know, to continue to stimulate and grow the arms.
No, I do, you know, on average, I'll do anywhere between 12 to 15 sets per body part per week, but arms are always about 9. Maybe 10 or 11 because they're getting hit with all the other stuff. Yeah. It's like it would be overtraining almost or a waste of time for me to do that as many sets for my biceps.
Yeah, they're involved with almost everything.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And forearms, I do even way less because every back and arm exercise, every time you grab something, you need to hold on to it, those forearms.
You know, the strong, I've had phases where I've been on like forearm kicks, training like that. I never got bigger, stronger forearms and just actually all focused on my deadlift.
Oh,
no forearm, forearm training. Just when
deadlift
I was
the farmer walks
when I was years. Yeah, and that because that was in there actually when I was doing that because we were doing that all training together back in those days. Yeah. When I was chasing your deadlift number, that was the strongest my forearm, and I didn't do a single forearm exercise. Yep. It was just from getting really really
holding
strong
on to the weight.
Yeah, if you can hold on to 500 pounds on a deadlift with no straps, like
you're gonna have decent forearms.
You're gonna have some serious forearm strength.
Yeah, excellent. Look, if you like Mind Pump, if you want to follow some of our workouts, check this out. Go to Instagram, Mind Pump Media, for under $5 a month. We will provide a new workout every single week. So you don't have to get one of our full programs. Although, if you want a full program and you want to go for it, get those. Go to mapsfitnessproducts.com. But again, Mind Pump Media on Instagram, under $5 a month, get a new workout every single week. You can also find all of us on social media. Justin is at Mind Pump Justin. I'm at Mind Pump DeStefano. And Adam is at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.